Amen. I love that song, and we'll be talking more about the theme of love this morning in just a few moments. But before we do, I have some awesome news to share with you guys. You guys want to hear some awesome news? It's like, who doesn't want to hear good news, right? I don't turn on the 11 o'clock news anymore because most of the time it's bad news. And so why I put myself through that? But when there's good news, I want to be a part of that. And we have some exciting news to share this morning with you. Peyton Gramenya, if you would stand, and Morgan Vance, please stand. They're like, what? You guys have something going on later on this evening. These guys are getting baptized into Christ tonight. Tonight at 7 p.m., and if you would like to go and be a part of that, you can talk to either the Gramenyas or the Vance families to find out the location. Basically, I'll tell you this, it's in their neighborhood. When I say their neighborhood, I mean their neighborhood, because the Vances moved into the Gramenyas neighborhood, not that it was their neighborhood, but the Claremont subdivision neighborhood this past week. And so at the pool there at Claremont, they're going to both be getting baptized. So that's awesome. 7 o'clock tonight. Look forward to that. Turn with me to John chapter 13, please. Beginning of this month, I had the opportunity after 4th of July to speak and share, and I talked about labels. If you were here, maybe you remember that. Hopefully you would. Sometimes you leave church, and then you're like, somebody asks you what was the sermon on, and you're like, But hopefully sometimes there's some that stick with you. You get that, labels stick. But we talked about taking off the labels that we give ourselves and that others give us, right? Not letting those things stick to us. And I referenced the book, You Are Special by Max Licato. It's really a powerful children's book, but has a great message for all of us. This morning, I want to piggyback on that topic just a little bit and stick with that theme of labels. But instead of taking off a label, I want us to focus on putting on the label. Because it's good to take things off that are false, that aren't true, but I think we do need to be known for something, right? What do you want to be known for? Everyone asks that question at some point or other. If you're starting a business, you have to think, okay, what do we, as a company, what do we want to offer, but what do we want to be known for? I have a couple of images here I'd like to show you guys. What is that? Mickey Mouse. And what's Mickey Mouse known for? Disney. Fun. Family. Magical. Happiest place on earth. I have a story of when we went there. It was one of our worst fights ever, Megan and I. Literally, I think, so this is supposed to be a magical place, but it was stressful at times. But anyway, that's beyond the point. But really, that's what, the things that you guys talked about, what do we want to be known for? You think of that, you think of awesome stuff, right? It's just fun, magical place. Next. Starbucks. Now, this one can go different ways, right? But what's Starbucks, what are they known for? Coffee. And if you ask Tim Kinsey, is he here? Now, see, there's the other, the high prices, and I ain't paying. I could have coffee for a year for what I get in a day. Tim, what's Starbucks known for? Come on, you let me down.
Atmosphere.
I mean, it's the place, right? Students, I mean, that's the place. Parents are like, I don't have enough money. We got another part-time job to do that. But anyway, Starbucks, there's things, images, happening place, coffee, it's cool, it's the place to be, all right? Apple. Tell me, what do you think of, now again, don't mute me, Steve. Some people say overpriced, but let me tell you, once you go Mac, you never go back. Right? It's easy, it's user-friendly, it's awesome. No viruses. But they have they do a pretty good job, right? You go to the Mac store, the Apple store, One day I told Megan I was in the MAC store, and she thought I was buying her makeup. I was like, no, sweetie, I'm in the Apple store. I'm sorry. Macintosh, right? Your grandmother's Macintosh. You should know that. But anyway, but that place is just happening, right? That place, they've got it going on. They know what they're doing. They know when they said, I want to be known for something. All right, what's next? Cornerstone. What do we want to be known for? Jason talked a little bit about family. Good news to our community. What? The gospel. Service. Welcoming. Community. All right. Here's a little note I'd like to read you guys. Dear David, Sue, and our Cornerstone family. Friends are the family we choose for ourselves. We could not have chosen a better family than our Cornerstone family. We thank you for the cards, condolences, and prayers offered on behalf of our family. Your generosity is overwhelming. Thank you for everything. This is Valerie and Chelsea and the family at the loss of her dad. She handed me this card this morning, and I was thinking about this, and I was like, that's the perfect time to read that, because what are we known for? And we'll talk more about that this morning. What do we as Christians, and I use that quote, want to be known for? What should we be known for is the question. I don't know how many of you are familiar with an author. Her name is Anne Rice. She sold over 90 million books. Some of her famous writings are known for The Vampire Chronicles. I don't know if any of you remember a movie that was released a while back called Interview with a Vampire. That was based off of one of her novels. Anne left the church at 18. She said, I'm done. And she stayed away until she turned 50. And she decided to come back and give it another chance. And during that time, she wrote some other books. One's called Called Out of Darkness. But guess what happened after 10 years of being back within the church, within Christianity? She left again at the age of 60. And on July the 28th, which is 2 days from now, 2010, so almost 5 years ago, to this date, she made a post on Facebook. And we'll talk about that later. The concept of Facebook and posts. Today, July 28th, 2010, I quit being a Christian. I remain committed to Christ as always, but not to being a Christian or being a part of Christianity. It's simply impossible for me to belong to this quarrelsome, hostile, check this word out, disputatious. I still probably don't know what all that means. Dispute, I can kind of get that. And the root word is dispute, right? And deservingly infamous group. It's impossible for her to belong to that group. For 10 years I tried. I failed. I'm an outsider. My conscience will allow nothing else. That's heavy. Isn't that heavy? That someone got to that place. Now, I don't know all of her story, but that's saddening to me. When someone feels like what's quote-unquote Christianity, it's like, I can't belong to that because, in one of her quotes that she says later on, is like, Christianity doesn't mean following the followers of Christ. It means following Christ. Sometimes it's easy for us to compare ourselves to each other, and that's not what Christianity is. It's not being like, now sure, we want to imitate as we imitate Christ, if you are imitating Christ, right? That's the goal. But it's not about following just Christianity in quotes, but it's about following Jesus. How many people have felt sometime in their life the same way Anne felt? Today, people feel that way. It's like, if this is what it's all about, I don't know if I like this stuff. Judgmental, arrogant, hateful, mean. Is that how you want to be known? I ask myself, is that how I want to be known as a follower of Jesus? No way. Last Saturday, after band practice, a gentleman named Charles walks in our front doors. He's in some need of some help. He would hardly look at me in the face as he walked in. We were kind of finished up and we were kind of exiting out. I was about to turn the lights off and he walks in. He had just lost his job. He worked for a trash company, had some car trouble, couldn't get to work, and they fired him. He was missing some teeth. And over, he kept apologizing for his physical appearance and kept saying, "I'm sorry, I have some periodontal disease. I haven't done drugs." You know, he kind of goes through this explanation. I just met him for the first time. But he starts kind of making these kind of excuses for his physical things or why he lost his job. He came in, he wouldn't look at me in the face. He was so nervous. He kept saying, "I'm not looking for money, I'm not looking for money. I just need help. I live in North Forsyth and I have family in Duluth and I came down to try to see if I could get some help from them. But there was no help there. And I just need some advice of what to do." He goes, I'm so nervous. I was like, it's okay. But why? It hurt me because why was he so nervous? There was probably some shame, embarrassment. How many churches are down this road right here? And a lot of people go there and they go to church to church to church. And sometimes I can feel guilty and okay working in the office. I mean, we had to kind of create some type of balance because we want to love people and we want to take care of people. We have to be wise in how we do that. And so there's plans there. And I just shared with him what we do with the Duluth Co-op, different things of that nature. Obviously, him living in North Forsyth, that co-op doesn't apply, but I was trying to get him connected somewhere else. But his experiences, I'm assuming, with churches, have been pretty poor. It's not been a fond experience. You know, and I didn't have money to give him. I tried to give him some advice, and I said, "Listen, what I can do is I can pray for you, put my arms around him." That physical touch, I think, means a lot sometimes. I mean, Jesus in his ministry, it references how he touches people. People that were untouchable, he touched. And I just prayed for him and his wife, that God would direct their path, that God would find him a job. He had a possible opening that next week. And I don't know what happened with Charles. But what I wanted to make sure that when he left here, when he left the interaction I had with him, I wanted him to feel loved. I wanted him to feel loved. To put that for me, that I needed to put on and show the love of God to him. To not judge him. And I don't know what's going on in his life. And my first inclination is I noticed his teeth and things started rolling through my mind, just being honest. And I had to stop and say, what would Jesus do in this situation? And I probably didn't do all that Jesus would have done in that situation. I probably could have done better, but I'm just trying to help you see this is kind of where I was at that moment. And after studying some of this out, I probably would have done some things differently. But I don't want to dwell on that. I want to focus on who can I be now in the days to come. John 13, verse 34. Please look at that with me. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this love that you've shown to one another, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another." Isn't that powerful in itself? By this, all men will know you are my followers. You are my apprentices. You are my disciples. If you love one another. He doesn't say, by this, all men will know you are my disciples if you're right and you believe that you're right and you have the right doctrine. This, check, check, check. Look, we're right. Come to us. We'll prove you wrong, baby. No. That doesn't work. That's not loving. By this all men will know you're my disciples, by how perfect your family is. By how perfect you are. You never make a mistake. You're righteous. You're good. That's what people are going to... Nope. By this all men will know you're my disciples, by how beautiful your church is. I kind of chuckle at that, you know. It's like, have a burned building out the front, you know. We're in trouble. Thank goodness it's not that, right? How awesome your worship ministry is. All men will know when they come in here, oh my, you are disciples of Jesus. No. We're imperfect. We make mistakes, and that's what I love. We kind of come up here, we'll play the wrong thing, we'll sing wrong notes. Thank goodness that doesn't mean that's how everyone's going to know I'm his follower. Don't know how well Jesus sang, but rather by how we love one another. I want to encourage us, I want to challenge us, church, to put that label of love on. You know, earlier in chapter 13, Jesus really puts into practice what love looks like by washing his disciples' feet. It says, and he showed them the full extent of his love. He showed them. He put it into practice. It was a part of who he was. You know, Mark 10, he deals with a young guy who had a lot of money that was kind of trying to, he was kind of a goody two-shoe kind of guy. Yeah, I've done all these things, Jesus. Yeah. Well, there's just one thing you lack. Okay, he said, before all that, he says, Jesus looked at him and did what? He loved him. He looked at him and he loved him. That's powerful. He didn't look at him and judge him. He didn't look at him and condemn him. He loved. When we see people, when we come in contact with people, what's our first inclination? To judge, to compare. Let's look with love. Look with eyes of love. John 15, no greater love is this than to lay down your life for your friends. He put that into practice. That's why we're taking communion this morning. It's because Jesus himself put that label on. He said, this is who I am. This is what I want to be known for. To the point of dying on a cross for our sins. You know, over the last couple of weeks, David's been focusing on a few current events that have been going on in today's world, right? Every day we're faced with the decision of how we're going to respond to those things. To those things that happen around us. Remember I talked earlier about how Anne Rice posted on Facebook kind of her declaration. We have a choice, brothers and sisters, and I don't want to get all up on this, and I pray that this will come with love. We have a choice of what we post. We have a choice of what we want to represent. And look, do we all have opinions? Yes. Is social media the best way to get out our opinions and prove everyone else wrong and make everyone believe us? You have that freedom of speech, Josh. We have that. That's all right. God created social media, you know, internet, so we can do all these things, you know. All right. How's that working for you? How's that working? How many people have just come flocking to you because of a stance that you've made on some, oh my God, I've never, wow, thank you for doing that. But sometimes we feel like, I might have some opinions, but social media doesn't need to know. Facebook, my friends don't need to necessarily know all those things. Is what you're posting, is it known for love? They look at that and say, that's loving. We need to respond with love. And response doesn't always mean words, does it? Do not love with words or tongue, but in action and truth. Sometimes we feel like, oh, we need to respond in love. Okay, well, response is verbal. Not necessarily. Actions speak louder than words. I read a book a few years ago, and I'm awful at reading books. I start a book, but I don't finish it. Any of you can relate to me? On vacation, I took about four books to the beach, And I'd take them down, I'd start reading one, then I'd stop and go to the other one and go to the other one. Megan's like, how do you do that? You know, I don't know. Half the time I don't finish. But I did finish this one a couple years ago, and it's called Love Works. Fantastic read in terms of business world mindset kind of thing, but just the principles of love and the principles of Jesus. Joel Manby, who kind of the owner and CEO of Stone Mountain, Dollywood, all these different, this Hershabet group type thing. Love works. Love works, guys. Love works. Colossians 3, go and read it sometime. In verse 12, it says, clothe yourself, Colossians 3, 1 through 14, but verse 12, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I mean, it's about clothing yourself with Christ. And over everything that we want to try to encompass, the thing that we need that needs to be seen by everyone is put on love. How do we do that? Well, the golden rule is what? Treat others the way you want to be treated. And what does that look like? Put yourself in the shoes. You know, I loved, you know, the letter that I read, the note from Valerie. In this room, in our church family, we need to be known for our love for one another, to take care of one another. And there's so many ways that we've done that, and I'm grateful for that. But some of us need to open our eyes and see other needs that are out there. There's people that need this in this room. They need that love. There's people that have left this room. We still need to love. We still need, it goes beyond these walls. Jesus' love goes beyond that. Friends that walk in the door should see our love. We should be known for our love. Wow. I think sometimes we've lost sight, if I'm being honest, of when people come in, what we have in front of us. And what we can offer them, where we can meet them, where they are. And look out for them. If you see a new face, don't just walk by. Stop and say hello, introduce yourself. Get to know them a little bit. Let's love them. Treat others the way you want to be treated. It's weird walking in. It's awkward walking in a new place. How would you want to be greeted? Let's do that. We can go on. Co-workers, friends, I want to just give you, there's practicals here. I want us to put this in flesh, right? Leaving here, okay, what's it mean? You think about that. I can't give you the answers to everything. But strangers that you walk up to, that you introduce yourself to, people that have different views than you, your enemies, right? It's easy sometimes to love our brothers, not always, but in that context, but to love your enemies, people that have different views, that's challenging. Turn with me. We're going to close in John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. You know, we started this morning by looking at one of John's writings about Jesus in the gospel in chapter 13. And as John was writing, he remembered that very vividly of what Jesus told his disciples. Listen, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Now, I want to end this morning by looking at some of John's writings towards the end of his life. You know, John was one of the only apostles that lived to an old age. Most of the other apostles, they died, most of them a martyr's death. Peter and Andrew were crucified. James, son of Alphaeus, was stoned. Thomas was lanced, stabbed. Matthew, he died a martyr in Ethiopia. The list can go on and on. John is actually one that lived into an old age, and it's kind of cool to see his writings here in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. These different letters as he's at the end of his life, and he's reflecting on what are the important things? What are the things that stood out to me about Jesus? about being a follower of Jesus. He was still talking so much about that same topic of love. You know, chapters 3 and chapters 4, he really dives into that. I want to encourage you to go back and read some more of this and meditate on these words this week. You know, love is what Jesus talked about with his followers. It's who he was in his everyday life. Love is what was expressed when he went to the cross, amazing love that he would die for us. You know, Jesus put on that label and he lived that label of love. And John is reminding us that we are called to live that same life of love, to reflect the love of God in our lives. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. As we take communion this morning, I want us to think about the call here is to live that life of love. That's what I want to be known for. My prayers is that's what you want to be known for in your daily life, that we are known by our love. Let's pray.